Process of the discipleship series here at the Disciple Center, part 3. And today is another tool that you already have about prayer. But before I begin, we talked last week about having different things, being uniformed in some way. I put this out because I don't want to be killed by Miss Robin for making horrible messes. And as you guys all know, I do have examples. But before I do that, I talked last week about different things that we can have on ourselves or on us or beside us, the sword of God with us. Every day I go to work, I look like this other than a tie and my jacket. And I wear slacks. And I wear a dress shirt. Unless it's cold, then it's a nice sweater. With that, you would think I would wear something like those shoes, right? You would think. I do not. My feet get cold in these kind of shoes. And I wear these exact tennis shoes. And I've also been known, as a person that gets there early, I'm telling you, throughout the district, they know that guy walks every day when he gets to work. And I have these tennis shoes on, unless it's raining, then I have rain boots, and I'm still walking. I'm known as a crazy guy that walks in the wind and the rain. And as people talk to me, I will tell them when they ask, "You walk every day, tell me where you walk." And I let them know where I walk. It's so beautiful up there. I will generally mention that God has created a beautiful scenery around us. And I will mention that when I walk, I'm saying my prayers. They know that I'm a man of faith just by that small little testimony and the crazy guy that's walking. I don't know what's going on with them. I don't know what their field is about. But I do know where I'm walking, and the soil up there is very rocky. Some of those rocks may have actually come from around my work. They're tearing the ground right now. They're preparing for another housing project. I love the open land. I don't know about you guys, but I do, coming from a farming community. But no matter what I'm doing, our ultimate goal, and I've said this over and over, is discipleship with other people. It's our faith. Interesting enough, I was looking at this. We say the Kyrios month after month on the second week. And if we're not going to confess that He is Lord, then those people that don't think they have a ministry to do so shouldn't be saying, "My confession shall be heard before all men." We do have that responsibility to share our faith. We have to be smart as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. However, today, again, the tool is about prayer. I love the fact that I was talking to Randy. We didn't plan it this way. This just happened to be the next step in my series. And prayer and our God, we saw it come to fruition and brought Anna and her mom in the best way possible that we couldn't even think of through last week. And she came home. Both of them came home. 1 Thessalonians. Actually, you guys go ahead and do me a favor. Turn to 1 Samuel 12. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 15 through 18 says this. "See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people." For all people, not just believers, but all people. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." That's hard. That is a hard statement by Paul. pray without ceasing. I have always wondered what that's like, and now I know what it's like because I tried to introduce that to myself years ago. And it's not just, dear Lord, help us for the day. It may start with that, but it's also remembering those in need, talking to others that are going through life's journeys. You're praying, you're doing God's word without stopping. So without ceasing, we should always remember to give thanks, even when we're going through trials. Give thanks when it's hard. Give thanks for when He pulls us through. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 points to the anxiety that life struggles can actually bring us through. I've been working on memorizing this one. And I know you guys know it as well when I start to read it. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If you do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Again, these are things that God will help us with if we go to Him in prayer. When I talk about doing ministry, right, and sharing our faith, anxiety wells up in a lot of people. It welled up in me. It still does every once in a while. Like, Lord, am I supposed to be sharing this at this moment, at this time? You guide me. You direct me. Lord, every morning, this is my prayer at work. Lord, I ask You, open the door today where I can share my faith. Just a little bit. This past week, don't ask if you don't want it. Right? Lord, open that door. I kid you not, within 30 minutes, I'm walking out, I got to talk to a few administrators. One of them is very faithful, and we've had some really good conversations. I would consider him a friend. The other three that were there, the principal, I'm not sure about. The other assistant principal, not sure about. But my faith, I wanted to shine through. And we're sitting there, we're talking, and it's just all of us together. They're getting ready for the kids to come in, and they mentioned my walking. And they said, you're up here every morning. My kid, I don't even know their kid, they're like, why does he get up there every morning? We see him every day. And they're like, well, he wants to exercise. And I said, that's part of it, but I also pray for you guys. And I pray for what's going on in my life. Not my job to bring him to faith. My job, testimony of what I'm doing. I'm doing it for him, to glorify him. Now, if I had to choose between what's going on at work or what's going on here, I choose what's going on here because you're my family. One thing that Bruce has always taught us, put family first. I've told Bruce through the years when he has stuff going on, you don't have to worry about what's going on here. We'll be just fine. Go. Do what you need to do. For his grandkids, as you know. And we were. We've made it through. We've grown because of it. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 12. If you will. First Samuel chapter 12, starting in verse 19. It says, then all the people said to Samuel, remember they wanted a king, and he was like, no, why would we want that? Anyways, they're coming back to Samuel. Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, so that we may not die. For we have added to all our sins the evil by asking for ourselves a king. They're acknowledging that they went wrong. Samuel said to the people, do not fear, you have committed all this evil. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve. Serve, do what the Lord says with all your heart. You must not turn aside, for then you would go after futile things, ways of the world, which you cannot profit or deliver, because they are futile. For the Lord will not abandon His people on account of His great name, because the Lord is pleased to make you a people for Himself. Wow. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, that I would instruct you in the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord, serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things He has done for you. Go back to verse 23. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord. I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. My family, the one that God has chosen. Wow. I have a job to pray for you guys. You have a job, I'll tell you right now. I can't find it in Scripture, but you're supposed to pray for me too. And I do appreciate it. There are people that will text me and say, hey, I'm praying for you. I know this is heavy for you. It's not easy. And I tell you what, just like Anna said earlier, I can feel those prayers at times, and they're lifting me up and guiding me in that direction. But I have a job, just like Samuel did, to pray for you all and your ministries. Because we all, if you've chosen to follow the Lord, you have a ministry to do for Him. So may I never cease praying for you all in this way. Great thing is, as I look out, my daughter's falling asleep, I'm remembered that Paul put other people to sleep as well. So, if I put one of you to sleep, I have no problem with that. I've heard pastors say that all the time. It's biblical to fall asleep at times. All right, we're going to go on. There is a problem, though, in the world, and we need to recognize it. Are all people going to follow the Lord? Well, Deuteronomy 24, or 29, if you will, says this. Yet to this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to know, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear. I'm going to back up just a little bit and pick up in 29:2. It says, as Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, you have seen all the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and all his servants and his land, the great trials which your eyes have seen, those great signs and wonders. Yet to this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to know, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear. I don't have the responsibility of changing anybody I work with. I have the responsibility to share what God is doing for me and let them know that I am a follower after His great name. And I'm about to take another step in that I'm getting comfortable with it. And as we progress, God gets us more comfortable with the ministry He has given to us. And so I'm about to start telling them, and if you have anything you want me to pray for, please let me know. And at the same time, I'm building those relationships. Because discipleship starts with just relationship. In Matthew 5, turn back over, we're going to look at what Jesus says about just praying for others. Does He tell us to just pray for our brothers and sisters? Or does He talk about praying for those in the world? If you remember, He tells us to pray for those who persecute us in this passage here. Matthew 5:43 says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Remember, we're supposed to love our neighbor. What are our neighbors? What define our neighbors? Is it just those to my right and to my left? Are they in my neighborhood? Are they my coworkers? They're everybody out there. So, I have more relationship with those who I work with. I have great relationships, or I hope to create great relationships with those who I live amongst. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. If you're living a life of faith, there will be those persecutions. Jesus told us there would be. We should be expecting that. So again, pray. Pray. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He causes His sun to rise just on the good. Wait, that's not what it says. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good. Sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's something for each and every one of us to strive for. Wouldn't you say? I would say yes. I would say that I'm not doing it perfectly, But he's bringing me along as I put things in place. You guys all know. I grew up in a small town of Arvin outside of Bakersfield in a farming agricultural community. I wanted to share what that looks like whenever... Have you, any of you seen how tractors plow up a field when it's really hard? Some of you have. I see Darissa saying yes. I'm seeing others say, not really, because I'm a city person. I have some videos here I want to show, if you will. Working on it. Okay. There we go. Now, this is called a ripper. Don't play it quite yet, Randy. This, you can tell, this is hard soil. Okay. And out there where I work, there's rocks just like what's down here. And this is not the easiest to do. That's all like weeds and grass that has just kind of flown in, and they're going to have to rip this soil. Being a welder on the farm equipment, how big do you think those ripper, we call them ripper shanks. They're kind of in a fish hook, if you will. So they come down and they hook because they're going to go through the dirt. You think they're about this big? Okay. They're going to put them, think about this big? Yeah, maybe. I'm going to tell you right now. They stand about this tall. Go down like this. They're on the back of what the tractor is pulling. Now, the interesting thing is, my grandfather taught me, and he would tell the new farmers, there was a few farmers that would buy the land and didn't really know anything about farming. And so they would come to us. They said, hey, you guys are the welders for all the farmers. And my grandfather would say, yeah, we do a lot of that. He goes, the first thing you're going to need to do is till that soil. Whether it's grapes or whatever, you're going to have to keep that fertilized. You're going to have to keep that, you know, tilled. And he goes, but the thing is, when, and I know you have these ripper shanks, you don't want to put them 6 feet in the ground to start. You want to put them just barely in the ground to start. Rip about 2 feet of dirt. And they're like, yeah, but they're so big. He goes, you'll get there. You're going to have to go through there maybe two or three times. But you rip it slowly. He goes, and I always knew who listened. Because guess what? That big ripper shank, even though it's like yay big and this thick of metal, if they put it 6 feet in and that's the first one they did, guess who had to come and bring it to us and we had to fix it? Yeah, it would break in half. And we go, how far did you go down? Oh, we did what you told us not to, right? So that does happen. This is part of that. So pay attention. This person is going to be ripping that ground, if you will, and then you're going to see how they push down, and it's so hard, but then after they rip it, they can actually push down, and it's not a problem. Those are those big shanks going into the ground. Now that part's ripped. He's going to test it now. He's standing on that thing. Hard. Watch this. Done. That's what prayer does if you're ripping in the right area. People may not want you to pray for them. Can you pause it there, Randy? There's going to be another one. They can't stop you from praying for them. I tell people all the time in my industry of mental health, I can't stop other people's reactions. You can't stop me from praying for you. And you can't stop God from changing a heart and a mind for Him. But where it starts is with the farmer. Where it starts is with Him. And where it starts is we're His instrument in prayer for others, if you will. That's ripping the soil. Now, the next video, if you just look right over, Randy, on that same page you see up top. Right up top. You see right up top there, there's two. Look at the very top. There you go. Tab, sorry. The next tab. This is tilling what's already ripped. This is so beautiful to me, if you ask me, and I'm sure Kim likes this too, because there's a difference in the ground. Go ahead and play this. Look at the hard part. It's already been ripped. Oh, that's so gorgeous to me. I'm sorry, but from Bakersfield, Kara gets this when I start to see a field. I'm like, oh, that is just... Pause it. Right there. Pause it. That is ready to be planted. Oh, so gorgeous. But you've got to start with prayer in your neighborhoods. You've got to start by letting people know you have the right things in place. You've got to start yourself in the Scripture and let God toil and prune, if you will, and rip where He needs to be ripped. Turn with me over to Mark 1:35. You can go back. That's gorgeous, so I love that. Mark 1:35, we're going to look at what the Master shows us through His own example. I know Bruce is not one to get up early in the morning, but it says that the Master, early in the morning, in verse 35 of Mark 1, in the early morning, He had just been healing people. He had just been doing things, showing who He was to the people the night before. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, yes, I know this is time change. I didn't plan this sermon, but hey, it's still dark. Right? Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there early in the morning. Yep, if you're a farmer, you're going to get up early in the morning. Maybe you're not that morning person. Go out at night. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for your own ministry that you have going on. Simon and his companions searched for Him. They found Him and said to Him, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus said, "Great, let's go somewhere else." It wasn't that time to plant in that city. It wasn't that time. At that moment, Jesus is already praying for the next spot. Let God work on their hearts. Jesus went somewhere else with His disciples after that. Over in Luke 22:31. Again, I go back to Samuel. He's praying. It's a sin if he doesn't, right? That's what it pointed out to. Jesus at the Passover tells, if you will, He says to Peter in this passage, picking up in verse 28 of chapter 32. Chapter 22, verses 28 through 32 is what I'm going to read. "You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom." Not the kingdom there, but the kingdom to come. "And you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So He lays it out. We all look forward to being there. We're going to be judged by Him. We're not part of the tribes, but we come alongside. Then He says to Peter something a little bit odd. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat." We can intercede for others and ask the Father to protect them. For Jesus shows us here that He did it for Peter. "But I have what? I've blocked him?" No, He says, "I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail you." Interesting here, He's predicting what's going to happen. When once you have turned again, you're going to turn away. But once you turn again back, strengthen your brothers. Wow. By prayer, Jesus was interceding for Peter. We need to be interceding for one another. We felt that this week. We saw the answers to prayer for Anna and what was going on. We've got to pray. Look, we have a great opportunity, and we're going to pray for those young people going out on mission this week in just a little while. We need to be praying that they're cultivating that ground for those who are going to be working with them, that they're cultivating that ground so that those who are working can plant the seed. Or maybe they plant the seed, but they're not going to see the harvest. That is possible. But when you go on short-term missions, God's working on you, right? He's working in a way that He'll open your eyes in that way. And so we see that here. We can intercede for others. And so we'll pray for those young people in a little bit and intercede and ask God to show them what He has for them, and allow them to work that soil and prepare it in such a way that it's not that rocky soil. Luke 24, the basis of this sermon. Luke 24, 44 through 48 says, "Now he said to them, 'These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all these things which are written about me in the Torah, the law of Moses, and the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." Whoa, I'm sorry. These people have been following him around for 3 years. And God, Jesus didn't open their minds before then? He didn't. It says, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ, the Messiah, would suffer and rise again from the dead in the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sin would be proclaimed in his name to who? All the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." They had to stay in the city. They weren't sent out right there. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit. I get it. But at the same time, whose job was it to open their minds? It was Jesus could open their minds. God the Father could open their minds. But they were told that they had something to do. We all have a ministry to do. We all have things to cultivate. Our neighborhoods, our workplaces. It starts to become relational when we start to build those relationships. And hopefully, things become discipling. Which means that that person saying, "Hey, can you tell me a little bit more about the Messiah? Can you tell me a little bit more about why you do things?" Because when we're cultivating and we're ripping and these different things happen and these rocks go under and different things happen, this is something really big that happened. My grandfather, as you know, welder, one of them. The other one's just a farmhand. And he's plowing and he's doing things to cultivate that land. What do you think happens with that dirt? It comes up. It comes up. And the same way we actually cultivate those relationships, he looks back one day and you have to check, make sure your shank isn't way back there, right? You broke it. He looks back and what's he find? Oh, he finds a treasure that I still have here today. Sits in my backyard. Looks like a rock, if you ask me that way. Oh, got off the carpet. Sorry, Robin. What is that, Katie? It's an old Indian artifact. Right? He's going through the field and he's tilling this ground for years and years. And what happens? If you keep tilling that ground and bringing it up, underneath it starts to move and vibrate up. That vibrated it up and he looks back and, oh, that's not a normal rock. He goes back and gets it. My faith started way back there. People in our neighborhoods are going to have these rocks that they don't want you to do away with. But if they know who you are and that you're sincere in your faith and that you're praying for them, it cultivates that relationship. And every once in a while, just as my grandfather found that rock, you're going to bring somebody to faith and you have no idea what that's like unless you've done it once before. And it's better than anything in the whole world because you've helped that person enter into eternity for all time. And so, we do that with our children really well. I'm praying that we do that with others in our communities, the neighborhoods, in our workplaces, and just wherever we go, that we will shine brightly for Him. So, with that being said, and that is heavy, and I'll leave it out if you guys want to look at it. And I'll let some young person, if they want, to carry it out to my car. But we all have a ministry to do. The Lord has planted us. As Anna said, He planted her here. He's cultivating her here. He's pruning her here. We have a job to do where He has given us the ability to do ministry. Let's go to Him in prayer.